Geek. Capcom. Mel. And here's your host, Matthew Chorney.
I don't know. It's the end of the world. We're gonna look.
Who cares?
Exactly. Hi, everybody.
It doesn't matter. Unprofessional.
Welcome to Sidecast Call It In Edition number 2. We're all bunkered down. I'm eating pizza because I've been wanting pizza for 3 fucking weeks and I finally got some today. What's today's date? It's just so we can... Okay, today is March 25th. So
25th? What is, really?
It is the 25th, my man.
That's dumb.
That's dumb. The date is dumb. Everything is bad.
It is bad. I haven't worked in over a week and a half, and I still haven't heard anything from unemployment. Can't hear anything from unemployment. Even when you call them, immediately when they open, they have so many callers, they can't take your call today. Please call back tomorrow.
That's what I have gotten for the past 2 days in Massachusetts.
It's like our state governments don't really have any money either, just like everyone does in this fucking bullshit structure we're living in.
Now, to be fair, the state of Massachusetts, today, as we're recording, is day one of the shutdown. Like, yesterday was basically day zero. You had till noon to get your shit together, and then if you were non-essential, everything was closed. And that's all I have to report on, because I haven't done much except for that thing we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, I was out of work already for a week and a half. They closed us down last Monday.
I want to recycle the great joke I read earlier on.
Please.
A guy named Matthew, he posted up that the Irish government is currently afraid to officially designate what we're going through a lockdown because it will no doubt prompt most middle-aged mothers to fill their car with half the contents of their local centra. Because fucking, just one thing you've noticed is that, like, families are idiots.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as people have children, they turn into fucking morons. And they just start buying up fucking Legos and fucking, like, just nonsense. Shit they don't need. Just like, I might need this encyclopedia. Like, fucking cram it in there.
That's like people buying shit tons of bottled water. It's like, it's not in the water, guys.
Yeah.
Why are you buying all the bottled water? Like, stop thinking this is like, you know, freaking preppers shit you need. I can't imagine what the actual preppers are doing. They've probably, like, gone in their vaults and locked the doors.
They've already committed suicide. Who are we kidding? Yeah, they're dead. They're the first to go.
Like, either that or they are doing all kinds of anal.
Yeah. Like, I think John's probably right. He's probably right.
We know what they're doing. They're in their, I mean, so the crazy preppers are up in the mountains in their, like, build your own vaults. And then we have all the rich guys are now with their 3 concubines in their basement dwellings somewhere in Hollywood.
They're going to ascend any day now.
Yeah. Oh,
sweet. I can't wait.
God, I had something funny that happened and it's gone out of my head now.
I had one. I got to tell you guys this one.
I'm pretty sure that's a symptom, John, just so you know.
You know what? Actually, I was really dizzy earlier on. I went for a walk up to the lake and I just got super dizzy and I was like going, oh God, I feel terrible. And I was going, do you know what it probably is? It's probably all the shit sleep and garbage I've been eating.
Yeah,
the last
totally.
Yeah, so, yeah, anytime I was coughing, I'm like, smoker.
Yeah, like, totally. I know. You're just like, is there a way, is there a universal sign for I just smoke weed?
I just came back and I was like, I'm just going to make like an adult's dinner. And I did that and fucking wonderful actual like pork chops. Not just like,
oh, I did that the other day. I went out, so I braved the supermarket. Oh my God.
That was the thing about Keith, before you tell the story, just jump in real quick and then out again.
Do it. That's the theme of the show, jumping in.
I know, totally, jump in. Is that our grocery stores are actually like, guys, stop buying and hoarding everything up. We swear, like, the trucks are running. We can't keep having to stop. Like, part of the reason that the workers can't stay home is because they're constantly fucking restocking. It's ridiculous. They're having to stay.
Yeah.
They're finally putting limits on things here.
Yeah, I went to ShopRite a couple days ago on Monday, and they actually had a sign at the door that were like, one package of chicken per customer. Like,
you can't be apparently adult, I guess people were so just
hoarding
to
chicken breasts or something.
Yeah, hoarding everything.
That was the thing I told a friend of mine. I was like, I've had to go back to wanking into socks. You know, I just can't afford to hold it for anymore.
Call a shower, John.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh my gosh, Matt. Holy shit. You're rich. You're rich. Yeah. Matt's like throwing his TP around. He's like making it rain.
My time has come. But it's, time to be the shit baron. Literally the shit baron come the end of the Star Keys, please.
No, it's fine. Please. No, you will because, yeah, I was going to say I went to the shop right, and the only things that were missing was the aisle with paper towel and toilet paper was like barren on Monday because people were probably still going out and buying it because they heard everybody was going out and buying it. And the microwave popcorn I wanted. That's real. I mean, otherwise, like, I got myself a nice pork loin. It was bone in, so it was like $5. Put that thing in the slow cooker with some, like, black beans and chipotle peppers, salt, pepper, garlic, a little cumin. Cook it all down so the beans get all mushy and kind of form like a broth with it. Shred it up. Charlie came home, made some carrots and stuff, so it's been good, dude. That's been the nice thing, is like making all this food. Charlie made barbecue pulled pork pizza today. Like, we're all going to be very fat by the end of this. We're all going to gain quite a few pounds. But we may be happier for it, you know.
My Juice Robinson T-shirt has some wearing on the print at the moment. I've been wearing this T-shirt for the last 3 or 4 days.
Are we going there? Are we doing confessions already?
It's hard.
I told my mom when I was on the phone to run. I was like, I've showered for the first time in 4 days today. Because who cares?
You know? I think I showered yesterday. I know I showered 2 days ago. I'm not sure about yesterday. And I didn't today yet.
I've been making sure, like, every other day usually. But again, it's like you don't do that much. So
I haven't left the house today yet.
I go outside at least every day because my dogs, this especially the littler one, will not. She needs to run around. She's still only like 7 months old, so she needs
running. Oh, yeah.
We have a fence yard, and it's actually better because it kind of forces me outside at least a few times a day, and I don't mind. It was snowing, and now it's like almost spring weather outside. So
for the first time in 2 years of living here, I actually went for a walk around the block in my city. Well, I mean, because usually I'm at home at night, and you don't want to walk around my block at night. A lot of little alleyways. But it was kind of a fun thing where, like, people were out, but only as far as their gates. And, like, nobody would go out on the fucking sidewalk. Yeah, and there I am, just smoking a cigar with my fucking giant headphones on, just like, yeah, cool, I'm going to rule this fucking neighborhood in 2 months. that's a joke, I'm not hoarding anything. Yeah, no, like, I'm jealous, Keith, because my roommates just moved out yesterday. Like, just moved out.
So,
I don't have all those cool things, nor are paychecks coming in now, to put up, to do the things that I've always wanted to do. Because basically, anyone ever watched the show Binging with Babish on YouTube?
No.
He's a cool guy. It's a cooking show. The episodes are like 5 to 15 minutes long. And he takes the dumbass fucking foods from television and films, makes the authentic version, samples them so that you can see how nasty and terrible they are, and then goes, all right, if we're going to make this for fucking reals, here's how we would do it. And it's one of those very, like, zen, quick, quiet YouTube videos where it's – and also very educational. And believe it or not, I like to cook. That's right, kids. You don't get this physique without really enjoying cooking. And I'm like, oh, cool. I finally have all the room and space to actually cook again. Sweet. Fuck, I'm out of a job. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for hopefully some money to come in. I'm just lucky my, you know, friend is also the owner of the house I live in and was already told me like 2 weeks ago, like, hey, Keith, I already stocked up, kept you in mind in that, and don't worry about rent because this is going to get crazy and I'm feeling like it will. And he's been right so far. Charlie's been nothing but right about how this has gotten. And he even now, who works for the state, is now only working either 2 days or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's switching on and off. Because there's nobody in his building, in the building he's the maintenance guy for. There's no one there, so there's no one calling him to do anything. So, like, they shouldn't have to have two guys there all the time, you know?
And for the record, right now it is a fucking national state of emergency, which means, dear listener, if any of your fucking landlords are trying to throw you out, let them fucking try, because they fucking can't. Like,
no,
it is
squatters'
been...
rights, yeah.
Man, yeah, fuck yeah.
They didn't well, it's put more than squatters. Anything I know, it's in that bill for us, but that's beside the point.
Did that even pass or anything?
It's still in the Senate. It's still in the Senate.
Of course it is. It's been in the Senate all fucking morning.
I made the mistake of sitting down and starting. Actually, it's not a mistake I need to know what Bob's rights are right now because there's a larger issue. And it's basically right off the bat. But they still, you don't pass a bill in the middle of the night unless you're trying to sneak some bullshit in there. And sure enough, it's a lot of the same bullshit. So, I mean, our only hope right now is that Bernie's still in the Senate. So he'll still pound his fucking bed. I mean,
He has been. Yeah,
we hear you.
It's paying enough attention. He's been pounding his fist.
I don't know. It's kind of silly because it's kind of like it assumes that things are going to be exactly the same after this, which is just silly at this point. And so, no, not going
to
do that.
Keith, I'm about to sing from your hymn sheet. When I hear people say, "Oh, I can't wait till things get back to normal." That normal that we left behind was a load of bullshit. And if we go back to that callous fucking society that we were all living in with fucking housing crises and fucking people living paycheck to paycheck, despite the fact that their paychecks are fucking huge, right? I don't want to go back to that shit, right?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, everyone. But that's all anybody wants. And all that is the way I see it in the end is I know we're all scared to die, guys, but you can't go backwards. It's literally impossible. Yep. So stop thinking you can go back to the time you already lived because you fucking can't. It's literally an impossibility. There is no time travel. So stop thinking you can somehow reset the fucking clock.
That's where it all stems from.
That's where it all stems from.
Not an invitation for you to start fucking banging on time travel, okay?
God damn it, Keith. You're always going after time traveling and time travelers. What is wrong with you?
Are you telling me you wouldn't kill Hitler? Is that what you're saying, Keith?
No, I'm not.
Why are you so timist?
Doc Brown was a saint. How dare you? Sorry.
Do you hate all the dimensions or just the linear human time?
Have you ever seen Time Wells Van Damme movie?
Go fuck himself.
All right, hang on. I agree with Keith. John, what were you asking us?
I was asking you guys if you'd ever seen Time Cop, the Van Damme movie.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's so terrible, it's wonderful.
That's the thing.
Paradoxes make you explode. That was the crux of that fucking movie.
I went back and watched it. I watched the first 10 minutes of it when I was at home a few months back. And I was sitting there watching the opening credits, and the name came up and it said, Time Cop. And then they explained the premise. And I just was sat there and I was going, wow, this was actually intended for adults. this was made and widely released to entertain grown human beings.
Well, it was 1994. Have you ever seen what young adult entertainment was back in 1994?
Yeah, I know. Look, I remember.
Not even young adult. That was adult.
Yeah.
That was my parents. They were... Yeah. 30. When they were in your age range because they had tweens and teens and stuff. Because women loved Van Damme.
Van Damme, he made Bloodsport five or six times. And those are the only ones worth watching. Apart from that one where he plays himself in the bank robbery. It's an actual Belgian film where he plays a kind of a version of himself. And he has an existential crisis during a bank robbery because everyone expects him to save the day. It's really good, and he's great in it. And as a lot of people said, it turns out when he's not speaking English, he can act.
Makes sense.
One of my favorite pieces, I think it's Lionheart, is probably what you guys would know it by. It's called AWOL over here. I think it was called Leon the Lion in some places. It's the one where he's a French legionnaire and he goes to America to avenge his brother's death by engaging in an underground fighting tournament. Because that's how you do that.
That's how
Van Damme does everything. If he needs something, there's an underground fighting tournament for that.
There's a bit where he's given out to his brother's widow, and he goes, he would not be strong to do this. And I'm sort of going, how did that one get through? How did the director go?
They were low on film.
But Sean, listen, pal, I'm feeling the emotion, but I'm just not understanding the language. So maybe just rewind that and chop it up a little bit for me. Nah, fuck it. It was good enough. Let's just get to... We need to... Yeah, like, you're right, Keith. Like, we've only got 7,000 foot of film here, and about 5,000 of that is going to have to go on close-ups of his arse. So
let's... We really got to get the scene where he does the splits right, and I want at least 10 takes of the splits.
He insisted on, like, walking bare-assed around in all of his movies, just kind of going... Yeah, check it out. It's pretty great, isn't it?
Like, I mean, would you not have been proud of it? Wouldn't you want to show off what you're proud of?
Universal Soldier was the best one.
I mean, I wouldn't want to beat him either, but I mean...
I don't know, man. I mean, it's a pity for him that, like... Or maybe he wouldn't have been a movie star if Instagram had been around in the 80s. He'd be just like...
Oh, like, yeah, he'd be set. He wouldn't need any of those movies. He'd just be an Instagram star.
Mm-hmm. Just doing kicks. And splits and stuff on Instagram, and like, no doubt, like, being caught up in several scandals.
No doubt.
'Cause you get the feeling of Van Damme, he must have been a scandal machine back in the day.
I do wonder, yeah, if he was in any of the papes or anything, any of the rags.
I don't know, I get the feeling he was a very handsy man on set.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering if, like, if you were in, like, the supermarket aisle in, like, 1990, would you see, like, on the cover, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme has 16 illegitimate children.
He was a big star. Like, he was on TV a lot.
Yeah, like, that's why I'm... wondering, like, if he was the target of any of that, like, not weird, the weird shit, the really crazy.
Well,
like,
he would have been, he was the target of...
Based on, like, a story from some friend of theirs.
He was the target of paparazzi. I mean, he was in the supermarket aisle for things like People magazine and, you know, People, 50 Most Beautiful People all the time for, like, years and years.
He was well above Seagal, you know, it was like...
He was above Seagal. Because he made more, like, Universal Soldier was my favorite. In that, like, kind of empty-headed, sort of, let's just show him off with his chest and ass, kind of. But, like, it should have been, like, a second-hand video game.
But, like, Arnold was number one, Stallone was number two. After that, I think maybe, like, I don't know if Bruce Willis counted, you know, he only really did Die Hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's not, like, action movie star, like, he's kind of, like... an actor, I guess, in a way, but not exactly. Yeah, it's, like, weird to fit him into that genre. Like, I don't see him in the same light as a Stallone or a Schwarzenegger or a Van Damme or even a Stallone when it comes to action movies. He does just have the one series.
Yeah, so, but he would have been above Van Damme just for those movies, though.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if I'm ranking action movie guys, like, Die Hard's great, but, like, I don't know, Bloodsport and Kickboxer are pretty cool.
I never
discount Street Fighter the movie.
Okay, hang on. Speaking of action movies, who would have been the Vin Diesel of the 80s?
Oh, Michael Dudikoff. I think.
Half a second, folks. He pulled that out of his stash.
I wish Bob
seconds.
Was here just because he would have such a good answer, I'm sure.
What's, Frank Roberts? Is that Julie Roberts' brother who did martial arts? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah, your man.
Eric Roberts.
Yeah. There we go. Eric Roberts. That's what I was going to say.
That's too mean.
Joe Piscopo.
I don't know if that's fair to Vin Diesel. Like, that's too mean.
Eric Roberts is a good actor, man. Like, Runaway Train? He's really great. But, the problem with Eric Roberts is he really was into drugs. And,
true story.
Too, right? Wasn't he?
He was in Best of the Best 1 and 2.
There we go. That's why I know him. I was trying to think. It was like Kung Fu.
Very good friends with
Vin Diesel, like, you know, kind of action.
But, very good friends with Steve Austin in the real world, apparently. Is Eric Roberts.
Why not?
They became friends on the set of The Expendables. And, like, then Steve was in a bunch of his films after that.
Nice.
But I don't know. Eric Roberts is a good pick, though, for Vin Diesel, like, because Eric Roberts took himself seriously like Vin Diesel does. But, like, for me, I just, like, you're Dudikoff. You're in a film franchise. Like, American Ninja is kind of similar to Fast and the Furious. And you're just a one-trick pony. Nobody cares about you outside of the franchise. Sorry, Michael Dudikoff. But
Yeah, because yeah, Vin Diesel's in that. Well, I mean, obviously, it's not doing good now with everything, but that Bloodshot, just like based on a '90s comic, they decided to make this into a movie.
Okay, do you know what I would love to see? A Scott Pilgrim versus the World style Image comic adaptation that's all visual, like Wildcats or something, like just over the top madness, like just visual insanity with like deformed bodies and like Rob Liefeld.
John, from the second you said Image, I'm like, yeah, I want nothing more in the world than to see that too.
I mean, okay. Legitimately, I would love an animated version of Invincible, which is one of the best comics Image has ever put out.
Well, Image were like Miramax in a way, because they started out making genre stuff and then turned into the prestige house.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because they were they Savage Dragon back in the 90s? Yeah. Was that in it?
Yeah. Wildcats, Spawn obviously was the big one.
Witchblade was the second big one.
What was the one that Rob Liefeld did? I was going to say, what was the one he did with the guy with all the pockets? But that would narrow it down enough.
I mean, I'd say Cable first, but that's in the X-Men, so not exactly.
They had lots of big hit comics back then, though. Like, but Spawn was the one that I think everybody knew.
Spawn
Spawn is the one. If you said today, people would come to that fucking mask at least. If I were to say Witchblade or The Darkness or fucking any Gen 13, I don't think any of those come to mind with kids these days at all. But Keith, speaking of which, you were talking about Bloodshot, so. I tried to watch Bloodshot today.
Really? Oh, just through streaming, since it was like, watch movies at home now, because don't go to the theater, please?
We'll go with that. Yeah, sure. That's what I did.
Right. Totally legitimate way to watch Bloodshot you have done today. Exactly.
I could honestly say, having to end it at the 40-minute mark, don't pay money to see Bloodshot. Bloodshot feels like Vin Diesel has been playing Call of Duty for the past 3 months, and then... Can I be that? Like, I'm watching this and I'm just, obviously movies are not perfect to real life scenarios, obviously. And when you get into science fiction, more liberties are given because, come on, it's sci-fi, let them have some fun. It was so bad that I couldn't help but notice the litany of troubles this fucking movie is having before it even gets to the main plot. One, fucking Vin Diesel throws a fucking smoke grenade into a room and then immediately runs into it like an idiot would do. In a video game. No mask, no nothing, and then it turns into like a Mexican standoff. So it was like, why did you throw that fucking grenade? This seems like whoever was directing this movie likes fucking Call of Duty, and you always throw a grenade no matter what. Two, the hostage situation room is in a freezer. They're sweating their balls off as they're being interrogated, and there's no fucking breath coming out of their fucking mouth, but the people who are doing the torturing are all wearing, like, fucking winter coats and shit. I'm like, the game, and then the rest of the movie, Vin Diesel is too old to be an action star now, guys. Look, he was on thin ice always, but
yeah,
there's no acting going on in the facial region. For any shot. He looks like a sad, scared little boy throughout the entirety of the fucking movie. That head has been slapped on like a jack dude's body. It's beyond not being a bad actor. He's not acting at all. It's just the sad, dope face throughout the whole movie. And yeah, I made it 40 minutes with what is the worst, most predictable fucking plot of anything I've ever seen. It feels like a throwaway comic from the 90s. It really does. Yeah, I didn't know it was based off of a comic. But like, now that you said it, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And I don't think anybody was asking for this. Like, at all.
Nobody's going to go see it because they can't leave their houses. So it doesn't matter anyway.
And the producers are probably happy about that. Because it is
and people are desperate for anything now, so they'll maybe rent it online if they kind of liked Vin Diesel in The Fast and the Furious.
It's my thought process, but, you know, yes, it was hard.
I don't know. All those movies just look like the same action movie. It's dudes in bulletproof vests who do things that no normal human being could do.
But what if your skin was bulletproof, Keith? What if your skin was?
I've seen that in anime enough. I don't need to see Vin Diesel do it.
The acting was probably better in the anime. Go ahead, John. What were you trying to say, dude?
I'm just saying, like, I was watching my favorite streamer, the Viper Higgins, to play through a Pro Evolution Soccer World Cup tournament where he tried to get Ireland to win the World Cup. And there was fucking thousands of people watching it. People are so hungry for sports that they were watching this.
I love it.
There was people trying to put bets on in the chat.
Esports are the only sports now. Like, people tried to say they were illegitimate. Well, now they're the only one.
Well, Japan is getting back up and running now, so there'll be mixed martial arts and, you know, J League soccer and stuff people can watch in the coming weeks. It can only in the smaller buildings. Like, New Japan can't run yet because their buildings are too large. So, yeah. Which I'm fucking not happy about, because I would love to be watching the New Japan Cup right now more than anything. But, it is what it is. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's a funny thing, as people said, like, I've watched sumo, my current little thing that I like to dig into. He's an American guy living in Japan, and he kind of covers sumo through YouTube. Just kind of him, it's a very strange setup. I find him very charming. He's a very, like, nice man, from what I can tell. And he really loves sumo. And he just kind of films his TV in his living room. And I think that's he's never been flagged for copyright as a result, because the videos don't look right, but they look great. Like, it's as good as watching it on your own TV. It was funny, just like all these people who'd never watched sumo before in the comments going, I'm in, I have to watch something, I'm all in on sumo now. Let me tell you, as I said to Mel a while ago, one of the things that appeals to me about sumo is that it's very relaxing and ritualistic, and, you know, it's a culturally deep thing, you know, like, it's this ancient tradition that's carried on into the modern world and hasn't changed and all this. But ultimately, it's about two big fat lads slapping the shit out of each other. And I don't care. I'll always find that entertaining. Like, there was a fight the other day where this guy got thrown out off the dojo, the fighting platform, and he bounced off the ground on the outside because they have it set up like mats out there. So it's like a judo mat, if you've ever been one of those. It's kind of set up so that you don't kill yourself when you land on it. It's suspended, and it gives kids a false sense of security. I saw that firsthand, where you teach them how to fall on tatamis, and they go in the real world going, I can fall on the ground, I'll be fine. And then they eat shit onto the concrete and learn that that's not the case. But yeah, this one guy, he fucking bounced off the ground. It's one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. But there's been great fucking fights as well. Just like, these guys are just like really going for it. I thought the lack of an audience might hurt it, but I don't know how it is. I just find, just give me two people fighting in any way and I'll be fascinated by it.
I mean, it's like, the oldest sport in the world. Like,
yeah, just two, like, I don't care who they are. I don't, like, it's one of the things where it's just like, as long as it's two people fighting hard and smart, I don't care. I'm happy to watch I'm not crazy about the UFC. Let me tell you, if this fight between Khabib and Tony Ferguson ever happens, better believe I'm going to watch that, because those two guys are fucking maniacs.
Yeah.
You know, remember Fry and Takayama, when they were, like, they got in the corner, that famous clip, Don Fry and Takayama in the corner beating each other's face in? You've no doubt seen the big blonde Japanese guy and the American man with the mustache, and they're wailing on each other. That's what that fight's going to be, except these two can actually fight. Like, Don Fry and Takayama, I've all the respect in the world for Takayama as a pro wrestler. He's one of the best of his generation. But him and Don Fry were literally two hard cunts. That was their style. It was, I will get in the ring and fight you, and I will not be knocked out because I'm tough. That's my special skill.
I mean,
like, they didn't have any finesse. They were just hard as fucking nails. I love fighters like that.
The old-fashioned just slugfest.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. All I want to see is people work hard.
Yeah.
That's all
I get that, though.
I was watching the Olympic boxing trials as well.
Yeah.
And those
gonna
are
bring
just,
up
like,
boxing, because I was going to say, I never thought I could be into boxing, but my dad was into
boxing. Oh, is
boxing?
Boxing's still allowed because they wear gloves, right?
No, it's not allowed at the moment, but boxing is a sport that it is an acquired taste. It's like the first time you drink beer and you're like, well, this is poison. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then 7 or 8 beers later, you're like, well, this is just what I was looking for.
Yeah, I never got there with boxing, but
there's a fascinating strategy that goes with boxing. It's you have to be athletic, but you have to be smart too. You can't just. He's like, I love beer though. I'm totally into.
That's
beer.
What I was saying. I was like, I never got there with boxing, but I did get there with beer because this.
That's, I mean, you
Mosaic
know.
Pale Ale is.
But would different weight classes bring different things? Like, I watched, like, if you watch two heavyweights go at it, they've got stopping power. If you watch two strawweights go at it, they're going to kill each other over 13 rounds because neither of them have enough power.
What's the difference between a tank and a DPS, man?
Fight Club, man. It's the quote from Fight Club. Little guys fight till they're burger.
That's it. And, like, there's, I remember in work... last summer watching a fight between two women and they fought for 14 rounds.
Wow.
It was fucking horrific. It was amazing, but like it was just like this highly skilled German woman fighting this hard as nails Brazilian woman who just was like, I will take everything you have until you can't give me anything and then I will knock you down. And that was the fight. It was great. But I just remember just watching it and just kind of going, I get this sport now. I get what it is, you know? But I remember as a kid, I was just like, where's all the sound effects, like, in the movies? You know? But, no, I enjoy it. I enjoy most
anything
things.
Anything like Rocky.
I enjoy it. Grappling is my favorite to watch, though. Like, I used to grapple myself. It's whenever I watch grappling, I kind of wish I could do it again. And then I remember I'm there going, ah, yeah, but I also would like my knees to work. My fucking finger joints not to seize up. Yeah, it's just fucking, it's great. I don't know what it is. It's just, there's a reason we've been doing it for thousands of years. Just, you know, I think for as long as humans are being around, we'll always have that schoolyard fascination of, oh, two people are gonna fucking swing their bones at each other.
Yeah, I think it's why wrestling persevered so long, and because, I mean, even amidst the coronavirus has adapted. Before we talked last week, AEW hadn't had their special no audience episode, which was really good, actually. It also sucked as an episode with no audience because it was the episode where like everybody premiered in AEW. Like Matt Hardy showed up to help out with Bullet Club, or not Bullet Club, the Elite. Might as well call him Bullet Club, whatever. And then Brody Lee showed up as the Exalted One.
It's the guys who were in the Bullet Club.
It's weirdness all over, but either way, I'm glad they got to do that. I saw some clips. Like, I don't know what league it was, but they were doing social distancing matches. And it was one of those things where if Jim Cornette saw these matches, and I'm sure he did, maybe he didn't, but if Jim Cornette saw these matches, he would have a fucking seizure and just have a stroke and die. Because it was literally them staying 6 feet apart, but still doing the moves like they were doing them to each other.
Oh my God, they're killing the business.
Yeah.
Oh, they just destroyed wrestling single-handedly.
This is the thing. You know when someone goes, oh, it's going to kill the business. If Chris Benoit didn't do it, all right?
Yeah. Oh, I need to watch that, too. Vice just put out the beginning of the series on wrestling.
We started it last night. I think we only got through the first hour.
Yeah, because I saw the in the trailer where Jericho goes, if you're going to say I'm glorifying a murderer, then turn this off. And I was like, I got to fucking watch this. Oh, my God. Oh, I gotta watch this.
Jericho, to be honest with you, again, like,
he's
Jericho,
kind of a prick.
He's just Jericho.
Jericho's a prick, but he is a prick, and he has like shitheads on his podcast all the time to talk about stupid paranormal bollocks. But fuck me, that man can cut a promo. he's so great.
He's a killer on the mic, man. He has slayed since '98, man. Like he's just great.
He's, as a friend of mine said as well, he seemingly can age or de-age himself at will these days, because sometimes you'll see him backstage and he'll look like he's in his like 30s, and then he's like later on you'll see him and he looks like he's what he is, like he's near pushing 50. But yeah, I don't know. I like that, as I said, that Benoit thing, if Benoit didn't do it, you know, if the almost weekly wrestler deaths didn't do it. Like, there was a period where it was like, hey, remember this guy? He's dead. Remember this guy? He's dead. Do you like, you know? And it's like, somehow, as Jake the Snake said, somehow it was never Jake. Like, despite giving it a good old goal.
Well, yeah, there's going to be
the roughest, worst time ever for that sort of thing.
Oh, it was brutal. It was the 80s.
Has anyone seen the documentary yet at all? Any of it?
No, I want to watch it. It's on YouTube. I haven't watched it yet. I think there's going to be an episode on Snuka and...
Just puts it online usually too on their.com.
Yeah, I saw it's on there. I have it on my list to watch later. I've been playing a lot of video games and ignoring the outside.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty heavy. I didn't feel like Jericho, he was just being Jericho and also honest. So, I mean, it's cool. Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Your pupper's going nuts.
I know. I don't know what.
Fine. She's adorable, so it's okay.
Oh, no. Well, now they're playing. Now the little one is playing with the big one, even though I just literally had them out like 25 or 30 minutes ago. Plus, she loves, we have a big picture window, and she loves sitting in the window. That's 90% of the time you hear her barking is because she is looking outside. And now, I mean, there's a lot of people in our neighborhood. We have sidewalks, fortunately, and a lot of people are out just walking their kids around, walking their dogs around, and... I'm glad I live in a community. That's one nice thing about what my situation is at least I live in a nice little neighborhood, and I can still talk to my neighbors over the fence. And
yeah, I saw my neighbor the other day. Most of the neighbors on one side are all younger kids in the Air Force because the Air Force base nearby, and they've been, like, in and out, and one of them's now – I saw him, like, early, like 10, 11 a.m. one morning. He was in uniform and, like, getting out of his car with a bunch of stuff. And he was like, yeah, I just went and got all my stuff so I could work from home. So I was just getting my laptop and all my stuff from the base.
My mom's non-essential DOD, and they're all telecommuting now. She said, yeah, they sent us home from the administrative stuff and sent us all the stuff. It's like, weird. They totally could have done that.
Weird that people could have been doing that from the start and not wasting time driving their fucking cars and causing more emissions and stuff like that. And isn't it a surprise that if you can just work from home, you cut down that stuff? It's pretty great.
Shut up, hippie.
I am, and I will die on this hill, or we'll all die. So, I mean, what do I have to lose at this point? I have, like, nothing to lose with, like, literally just speaking even louder now and just pointing at it and going, like, because if you don't, you're just dumb, and I'm going to stop talking. But, like, otherwise, I think if you're critically thinking here and have that ability, you can see how fucked up this situation is.
Well,
you know? But we have in America the idea of, like, things are worth the sacrifice.
Yeah, people are scared.
Because we all worship the guy who died on a cross for a bigger purpose, so we'll translate that into day-to-day life in a weird subconscious way.
I hate Jesus totally.
I don't hate Jesus. I love Jesus. I just think people misinterpret things.
I'm sorry. I hate the people who say they love Jesus.
Look, Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross for his dad. Everyone's dad in America is the stock market. We're going to need to sacrifice some lives for our dad, the stock market.
No, grandma.
Be like
grandma
Jesus.
And grandpa.
Sacrifice yourself.
We're sacrificing grandma and grandpa.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, have we gone to Silent Green yet?
No, you guys didn't hear the, like, lieutenant governor of Texas said that he thought a lot of grandparents were willing to die to get the economy back open in America?
Oh, there was a whole, like, oh, hey, look, you know, old
and then
people,
some idiot went on, like,
time for you to make your sacrifice for this generation. You never gave anything up. Well, time to die for us.
Well, I
was
mean,
like, and, like, I read their whole thread, and there was, like, parts of their thread where, like the whole sacrifice thing, I was like, yeah, they should have been doing that 20 years ago with, you know, giving up some, you know, but never mind. So it's, yeah, we are where we are right now, but I'm trying not to be here. I've been other places in video games. That's what I've been spending my time doing.
Keith, have you ever played Way of the Passive Fist?
It's a great video title game? And a great game, yeah.
Yeah, it's a game. Have you played it, Matt?
I feel like you've mentioned it before. The name sounds familiar.
No, I haven't mentioned it before here. It's kind of like Streets of Rage, but instead of attacking, you parry everything.
Oh, dope.
So, like, the character you play as, you memorize the other, like, the people attacking you's patterns. Mm-hmm. And, if you parry so many shots from them, you can then charge up your robot hand and punch them and knock them off the screen or whatever. That's nice. Basically, it's what I beat it the other day. And it's one of those games where it's like, the type of game I appreciate where it's like, here's how the game works, here's how difficult it is, get better at the game and you'll win. You just sit there and go, okay, I'll figure this out. And the bosses are fucking really tough, but there's nothing better, I find, when you meet a challenging boss and you're there going, I'm going to fucking figure you out. I'm going to get you. There's a way for me to get you, and I'm going to get you. And, I had that satisfaction. I beat the last guy yesterday. I was just there going, fucking, it's a good day to be alive.
That's Doom Eternal as well, where, you know, you'll encounter a room full of enemies and you will die and you will die and you will die and you will die. But you'll be like, I have everything I need to be able to do this. This isn't a game where, like, you know, there are sometimes some secrets to find, but it's not really going to affect the power you have or the power of your weapons most of the time. Maybe some abilities you might have or not. So, like, you always have what you need to take out whatever's ahead of you. So every time I get stuck and then get past it, it's great. I was going to say, even in that, you'll face off against a new enemy. It'll literally give you a little tutorial screen and be like, this enemy normally does this. This is how you take out the enemy normally. Go for it. And then the enemy destroys you anyway. Even when you know how to beat him. There's one enemy called the Marauder that has been the bane of me and all my friends.
I've heard tale from a lot of podcasters.
Marauders suck. But that whole game's about reacting and moving as fast as possible. So they're a really cool enemy to add.
Generally in Doom, if you're not winning, it's because you're standing still. Mm-hmm. You gotta keep trucking. You gotta keep moving.
And Eternal adds so much ability to do that in this and to be able to be like, I'm low on armor. Let me do this to the enemies to get armor. I'm low on ammo. Do this against the enemies. It doesn't detract at all from the last game. It tweaks a few things a little bit and just adds a bunch of great new stuff. That game is – the fact that two really awesome games came out on the same day in the middle of this is like a blessing, kind of.
Technically, they came out one after the other. They were supposed to come out yesterday as of the recording, but they thought better and maybe people should start.
No, it was always March 20th.
Was it always? Oh, okay. It was
always March 20th for both Animal Crossing New Horizon and Doom Eternal, which is why there were so many memes of Isabelle and who I now know playing the game. Hey, spoilers, a lot of people just call him Doom. Like, that is just his
Doom
fucking
Slayer.
Name. The Doom Slayer. But in this, because he doesn't talk to fucking anybody on Earth, like, there's an Earth lady who's studying him. This is my favorite part of the game, is there's an Earth lady who's studying him from this, like, Arc Center, this scientist building, and you find, like every good video game, you find her logs, and it's like, as you're listening at first, she's like, I don't understand, how is this guy the only thing they're scared of? And she, by the time it's from the beginning, she's a skeptic of the Doom Slayer, and then by the end, she's like, he's the only thing that can save us from these demons. He's the only one. He is Doom, and calls him Doom in all caps and everything. All caps. Oh, man. See, this is why MF Doom is great. This is why Doom is great. Like, all just anything with the word Doom in it is like chef kiss. It's like always amazing. Except the movie Doom.
I just like the idea of that woman going, oh, God, how is he able to do all this? And they're like, oh, I think it's just because he's a man and he's naturally stronger.
And he never cried, John. Yeah. He's never cried once in his life.
Never.
You just can't resist, can you? Just gotta throw it in there every single time.
It's great, because they say she's like, you know, according to his genome, he's human, he's totally human. But there's something else there, and we don't know what it is. So people think he's a, like, is he a god? Is he a demigod? Like, no, he's Doom. That's all he is. Like, he is the beast.
But more
when
importantly,
they say mark of,
he's a man.
They say mark of, yeah, but he's a man. But he has the mark of the beast. He's kind of like the Antichrist, I think, is another thing they were kind of get to. But, like, he's the Antichrist in the way where, like, he's the only one who can fight the demons and kill them.
I mean,
it expands on the story like crazy, and but in like the best fucking ways in this game. It's
like I personally always loved the story in 2016's Doom, and I'm glad they kept on. Like,
oh, it's
basically
so
the concept was this: okay, heaven and hell exists, and hell is every bit as terrible as you heard it was. However, if humans can smuggle weapons into hell, we will take it over. That's basically the subtext of Doom 2016. It's like, if we could just get a shotgun to hell, somebody could take over this fucking place.
I mean, I feel like...
Well, it's actually the follow-up. I mean, we had Meanie. I don't know if he talked all about it on here, but we all know Doom 2016 is the quote-unquote sequel to Doom 64, which the cool thing was, since I pre-ordered my copy of Doom Eternal from Amazon, I got a free copy of Doom 64 with it.
Oh, nice.
For my PS4, which is great. So, and I started playing it. That game's still great. That's still a great freaking first-person shooter for the time it was made in. I mean, it was playing it, I'm like, I bet if you go back and play this in Perfect Dark, this is more fun.
Do you know what it could be better, though? If you could see some stripper tits in it, you know, they can do Nukem.
Oh, yeah. That's, pixel tassels on some pixel titties. Oh, yeah.
It's like Duke Nukem is such a bizarre like time capsule of that time where it's just like I think
beautiful, beautiful time capsule of 1996.
I think Duke Nukem is what like young people today think the 90s was, and it was.
Yeah, you know, it kind of was. Yeah,
I'm sure there's some like I say if you were to ask like some like high strung young person, you'd be like, oh, what was popular culture like back in the 90s? Like, well, it was all just a bunch of fucking shitty men going around objectifying women and murdering aliens all the time. And you go, yeah.
The cops were literal pigs.
Yeah, Duke Nukem was even a parody back in the day, though.
There hasn't been any, like, mention of Duke Nukem, because I don't think it's, like, exactly id. I think 3D Realms is, like, the other first-person like, there's some I don't know. But there's references to, like, Quake and Doom and this fact that you can collect records in the game that are the soundtracks from, like, there's, like, a Wolfenstein 3D track I got. It's a real homage to all those games. It's crazy. He literally has, like, a bat cave. Like, you have the Fortress of Doom, I'm pretty sure is what it's called. I don't want to tell you too much, dude. You have to play this game.
I don't want to spoil anything. Keith will understand this. I'm glad the nod from Doom 2 is in it as much as I'm hearing that it is, because that makes me smile and is very delightful.
Well, I got a track from Doom 2 in it. I don't know what you mean.
I'll just screw it. It's the end of the world. Screw it. I hear that there's a lot of pictures of Doom Guy holding his bunny in this game.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but there's you can get the classic Space Marine suit in the game and then unlock it, so you're literally just running around in all that green, but in like a modern way. There's a bunch of different suits. Oh God, it's really
good. Guys.
And the platforming traversal they've introduced in this works great, snappy as fuck. Like, so good. If you love Doom 2016, have to play Doom Eternal.
It's okay. I agree, and I will get that game eventually. But speaking of animals and societies and the collapsing of civilization...
Yeah, let's all move out to an island, guys. Let's all move.
I never played Animal Crossing before, and John Savage rip on me last week made me feel so fucking bad I decided to buy it.
Did you cry?
Well, you said something about let's all go join the island, and like everyone on the show got what you meant except me. And I'm like, what the fuck is he? Oh, a video. And you're like,
Matt,
it's
so
a video
you're telling me that after the podcast was over and you listened back, you had a cry about it?
I had a menstruating cry where I sat on the toilet
for
3 hours.
Did you get your instruction booklet there?
Oh, I've got it like fucking highlighted.
You keep it in your back pocket.
No, it's in a frame and hanging in the bathroom because I'm keeping that motherfucker.
Oh, that's important. Oh, because that's where the rosary beads. That's where the rosary beads are.
Like with Animal Crossing, like I wasn't really like set on it until like the day before, and I was talking to a colleague of mine who's a big fan of it, and she was just saying, like, she's like, I'm leaving work early on the day it comes out. She's like, I'm gonna go straight down and pick up my. She bought the new Switch with the dock and all that.
Yeah, that's cute. Good color, very cute.
But
nice.
So yeah, it's a thing where I was like going, I kind of got to get in on this. Sunday, I left the house to go meet a friend of mine. And on the way home, I dropped into Argos, and which is a, like, pre... I don't know how to describe Argos to you guys. All right, like, imagine a physical version of online shopping. All right, like, so... there was...
How?
All right, it was like online shopping before the internet, right? Because they would send out catalogs to everybody.
Okay.
And
it's like as seen on TV store, I bet.
Well, you go in there. It's got everything like normal stuff and all that, but the shop front is tiny. It's basically a warehouse with a counter.
Okay. So there's
okay. Yeah.
Okay. Go in, and back in the day, you had a catalog, and you took down the number from the catalog. Now they have kiosks, and you can just pay, and you know they bring stuff out to you. Everywhere else was sold out of Animal Crossing. That place had it though, and I was like, well, I fucking want a physical copy. Like I know it's just a cartridge in a box, like, but on top of that, it was like €5 cheaper. So it was like there's some justification there, and I got it, and I got it home, and I was there going, I wonder, is this going to be worth it? And like an hour in, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I've always been skeptical of Animal Crossing. I think I played a DS version and was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I turn it on every day. I do a few things, then there's nothing else to fucking do in this game except fish. And I was like, that's so boring. And like, it didn't look good. And then I spent the last 5 days from like Thursday, Friday till Tuesday, watching my favorite YouTube people put up streams or playing it, seeing all my friends on Twitter, all my friends on Facebook playing this game because they're all stuck at home. And I was like, do I need this game? And then the instant, I was like, no, I don't. I'm a Stardew Valley guy. I don't need this. And then I was watching the Super Mega guys play, and I'm like, wait, there are little missions you do in this? Like, it actually tells you, like, hey, go catch 5 bugs. Hey, go catch 5 fish. Hey, go make 3 things. Hey, go do this. And I'm like, oh, no, there are little quests. Shit, this looks great. And it's so cute and clean and, like, so yesterday I was, like, looking on Amazon, I'm like, if I order a physical, who knows if it'll even show up like Friday when it says. It could not show up till next week with everybody ordering shit. Oh, I bet I can't buy a Switch code with my gift card balance from Amazon. Oh, I can buy it with my gift card balance. I can just buy a Switch code. And I was like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Like, everybody's playing it. Once I heard Matt was playing it and Capcom was playing it, I was like, all right, I'm getting it on the zeitgeist now. If this is going to be the, like, if this is going to be like 5 years down the line where we go, guys, remember when we were quarantined for 3 months and all we did was play New Horizons? I don't want to miss this bus. Like,
you got to ride that wave, man.
Yeah, I want to ride this wave, and it's so addicting. I wish I could look how many hours I've played, but like, it's so cute. It's so much fun. That's I love doing designs. I made myself a little Zelda hoodie that has a gold Z on the front, a Triforce on the back. It's, I just invited 2 new people to my island now that I have the airport going on. I started off with probably the best animal I could, who is Stinky the cat, who's the one who wears a luchador mask and talks about working out all the time. I was like, this game knows me. It gave me the wrestler cat. Like, it's, oh my God, it's so much fun. My only annoyance right now is none of the villagers have taught me how to do expressions yet, so I don't know how to express myself when I go hang out with my friends yet.
Okay, so I'm going to tag in here from my experience. I have never played any of these games before. I have heard people talk about it, and the people who love this series fucking love it. But like you, Keith, this past week, before, you know, this current week, all I heard from every podcast, every YouTube channel, was just people loving this shit. And I'm like, I remember, like, this is the moment that it hit me. It was Sunday morning at 3:30 in the morning. I'm just lying in bed doing nothing, watching nothing, just bored as fuck. And the realization was like, well, I could be playing this game everybody in the fucking world seems to enjoy, so why don't I just buy it? So I got it, installed it, not knowing what to think. And then, I mean, the charm, like, I get it. The charm of it is unbelievably ever-present.
It's through the fucking roof, man. It's, like, it has, like, it make this is what it is that I think I really like. And I thought about it earlier. All day, when I'm not playing that game, I have Wii music in my head. Mm. When I'm not playing that game.
Yeah.
And it has that crisp, like, calm, dulcet, like, just happy tones of a Wii game or the Wii menu or Wii Friends. Like, it's just
the most refreshing drug on the market. It really fucking is.
It's a fucking drug. Like, you start playing and it just, you're like, oh, I'm there, man. Like, and then you look at your watch and you go, I just spent 2 hours picking fruit and fish. Catch a fish. For 2 hours, that's all I did was catch fish and sell fish. And I was all like, I'm not going to be one of those people who starts putting aquariums and shit all over their island because the museum's not open yet. But now I'm one of those fucking people. I have a wall of aquariums on my island of fish I'm saving to trade into the museum when it opens.
So my first guest ever, because 8 hours later, we all get a picture from John in our little chat with him holding up his copy saying "fuck the police," and I'm like, "All right, cool. Well, I guess John will be my first guest." John will be like, "Okay, so I start the game up, and the first animal I see is a little goat named Billy. I'm like, "All right, hail Satan! This is clearly a sign. This was the right decision." 8 hours later, I'm getting a text from John. Yo, when you come home, come on, I want to come see your island. All right, cool. John, by the way, making some awesome fucking ghost memorabilia that I cannot wait to get in this fucking game. Because that shirt looks just like their fucking shirt, dude. It's creepy.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got a picture of the shirt. And then I was like, wait, I'm just going to remake this. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the thing I'm going to do a lot for next while. I'm going to make a bunch of different stuff like that. One, because it's, I think there's like an app you can use to like digitize images into the game, but I think it's more fun to just actually kind of recreate things and
there's a lot of do-it-yourselves for a lot of different very cool, like, just speaking of ghosts, like the first time I saw that you can even do this, Meg, who I convinced to buy the fucking game too, sends me a picture. She's like, I'm getting it because of this.
And keep going. Okay. I just realized what I can use, and I'm going to show you guys what I can use.
Oh, okay.
For this
game. I thought you spilled something. All right, never mind. But she was showing me like the Papa robes. And I'm like, all right, well, I know what I'm doing one night. But anyways, okay, so I get super into the game, and then I invite John to come check out my island. And, you know, he does. He runs around. He grabs his shit and checks out everything. And then as he leaves, he shoots me a text, you know, check out your bulletin board. So I walk up, and I read the bulletin board. Yo, the goat was a good choice. Hail Satan. Like, yeah, all right. So we clearly both had the same exact thought process when we started playing this fucking game.
It's but like, it's like you get out of it what you put into it, and that's what's, you know, that's what's rewarding about it. And it's just, it taps into a kind of quaintness that I think I've felt before when watching movies like
If I may, oh, I'm sorry, uh-huh. You're gonna say he's delivery service. It's the way Dale Cooper feels about Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's that thing. But
it's
like
feeling.
But the way the town in Kiki's Delivery Service, like, there's no horrible people there. It's that thing, you know, and that's kind of how I feel about it. But it's,
there's nothing. Even like, oh no, you got stung in the face and you look silly. Like, that's it. Oh no, a tarantula scared you. Like, that's it. But
tarantulas, man.
Bastards. They're fucking bastards.
So I just dug out. I forgot I had this on me, and I realized I can use this. I have my original Mario Paint player's guide
Oh boy.
That shows you how to with grids how to make certain things. So I can actually use this grid in Animal Crossing and, like, put Link on a shirt or Yoshi or... Apparently Lisa and Maggie are in here? What the fuck? Oh, yeah, it's got Simpsons from Bartman. It's got Plock in here. It's like, I'm going to make a fucking Plock t-shirt with this.
Nice.
They also have some Star Fox people, so I can make Star Fox in it, too, as long as they have all the colors.
And you're going to give us copies of all these things, right, Keith?
Can we do that? Is it possible?
You have to wait. You have to get a shop in your town. So as soon as...
Okay. The shop, I have just gave him the 30 nuggets for and placed it. So I've got like...
No, it's not that one. There's another shop you need to get into town.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I've got some time ahead of me.
So there's this...
designing stuff, yeah.
I think it's Mabel and something. The Able Sisters. They open a shop in your town.
Yeah.
I just met one today.
There you go. I lied. The only other Animal Crossing I've played is the mobile one. I've played the one where you have a little, like, RV.
Gotcha.
But even that got old.
But if you have an Able Sister and she can accept patterns, I can give you that ghost thing.
It's got logos for old 90s sports teams. You can make the old Eagles helmet with enough grids.
I love that you just had that lying around.
I have pretty much, to my right here... are 1, 2, 3 bins, and then there's one more over there, and that's pretty much besides whatever I left at my mom's in the attic. That's like all my video game shit from since I was a kid. Dude, so like this is my I have this as a child. I have a full boxed copy of Mario Paint in here. With the game, with the mouse pad. I have a whole
As an adult, I don't take care of my shit that well.
Oh, I didn't take care of a lot. I rebuilt the Mario Paint thing. Like, I found when I moved, I've moved like 3 times, and somehow that, when I originally moved, I just put it all in the box and like forgot I had it for like 15 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then came upon it and was like, came upon like the book separate and then ended up putting them together and was like, oh, like, some, like, this isn't in very good condition. It's like weirdly colored like a Nintendo does after it's like the whites all look yellowy like a Nintendo Super Nintendo changes weirdly on the book.
Same plaster.
Yeah, they might have used the same like ink or something like that between that and this. But
I want to answer John's question. No, it was just the introduction to her, and she's like, "Yeah, me and my sister will come periodically to sell shit. Bye." So who knows when that little porcupine's coming back.
No, but they give you a shop, and then you can put your designs in the shop. So if they have a shop, I can come to your town, and I can put my design in their shop, and then you can take...
My new immediate mission.
Dude, I got, like, Ryu's face in here. I could put Ryu's face on a shirt from, like, Street Fighter 2.
Nice.
They got the grid set up for that. Battletoads?
Gentlemen, gentlemen. Whichever one of you has the most talent... Whoever can make me a Papa Skull face paint first, I'll actually pay you. Make that happen.
I don't know how to make face paint. So I guess it's just like, dude, because I've had face paint on already, but it just goes.
It gives you an option for making it under the Pro Tools. Did you buy? Because if you buy the Pro Tools,
yeah, I have
a Pro Tool. Yeah, I have that too. I don't think face paint's in there. I don't think makeup's in there.
Well, you can make up anything on the grid, and then when you go to apply it, it says face, chest, wall, floor.
On the basic one, you can do it. Okay.
But it pushes it all into the corners of your head, not all over your face, right?
I haven't fucked with it because I don't know how to do those things.
I got to go see if I can make my face look like a skull because I already made a hat that had a skull on it, and then I was like, that doesn't look good, and I fixed it up, then I put flames around it, so now it's almost like a Ghost Rider hat, but it looks like the Austin 316 skull is on fire, kind of, because they gave it dotted red eyes, like, I don't know, it just made a bunch of weird
skulls. The field in front of my house looks like a place where there are human sacrifices, and now that I've gone online and taken a look, and I'm seeing just the litany of horror that people have made into their little happy towns, I'm like... Oh, I'm going to have some fucking fun with this game.
Oh, dude, I've seen people do things where they've made, like, blood splatters in the design thing and then put it all over their house, so it looks like there's just blood all over their house when you walk in.
Did you see the fucking meme of the girlfriend? Like, oh, I'm like, I just got the game, my boyfriend's been playing it for 3 days, and I'm flying to his island. As she fucking walks in, he's literally got the words, "Welcome, whore," written on his fucking house. I'm like, wow, holy shit.
I'm visiting this island for the first time. Blah.
I mean, it's like, I I love this type of game because, of course, it is wholesome on toast. And that is what they're trying to sell. But that's not what people want to play.
Yeah, and then they give you an editor and they go, you can draw whatever you want. Please don't be a bad boy now, okay?
Here you go, savages. If you're going to be twats, keep it amongst your own. All right, go. And like everything that is fun, it had a purpose. And then we perverted it into a much more fun purpose. And
Man, my buddies last night sent out an image. They were like, we did an exorcism tonight of like one of them laying in the bed and everyone standing around it.
That's fucking awesome.
I was like, all right, cool. Glad you guys are enjoying it. And that's really what pushed me over there. It was like, exorcisms, I'm in.
This is what Second Life must have felt like for 2 days before that fucking game became a cesspool of horror.
Yeah, thankfully you can't can't do anything that they don't want you to in the end beyond draw like dicks, you know what I mean? Oh, that was what someone discovered is some of the artist table things, you can actually put an image on it so it looks like that's what your character's drawing, and they just made the dick butt. So it said dick butt on their table.
I love that shit so much.
Yeah, it's great. It's so dumb. I'm just, I have a kangaroo on my island, and the first island I went to was another kangaroo. So I was like, I'm going to have both kangaroos on my fucking island.
I think I have a dragon coming to move in at some point.
I was so jealous. My buddy, I went to his island. He's like a robot duck.
What?
Yeah, there's like a robot chicken or robot duck. I was like,
let me warn you about something.
Get him?
Oh, no.
I got to warn you about something. And I still am a bit hot about this.
Oh, boy.
Animals can move to your friends' towns. Animals that live on your island.
What? Oh, no.
There was a fucking bear that lived on my island back in the day called Stitches, okay? And he was like a teddy bear and he was all stitched together and made out of like different colors of plot. Moved to my fucking ex's island. Never saw the cunt again. Hey, I still hot about it.
Fuck you, Stitches!
No, in the DS one back in the day.
Oh, okay. I don't know if they can do it in this one. I haven't heard any news of people feeling betrayed yet. I've had are my friends getting annoyed. Someone buys, someone be like, oh, they have this in my Nook shop today. And someone be like, oh, I want it. And then someone else will go and buy it before them.
No. Well, this thing will happen. Trust me.
What?
The shop's closed when you have your friends come over.
No, they don't.
No?
I bought a flamingo from someone's shop when I...
Dude, this game is like doing everything Animal Crossing has needed to do, I think, for a long time or something.
Decorate, and it wouldn't let me buy shit from the Nook shop when people were on my island.
Well, I've done it. You gotta... If you go... Oh, God, there's a subreddit out there where people can exchange codes. So if you just want to put your...
Maybe it's a setting I have on.
But if you go to r/dodo codes, you can get people's dodo codes. Problem with that is that the islands get gang banged within the first 2 minutes of the codes being up, and it becomes unplayable. You can't move around because every time someone arrives, instead of just having them pop in like a normal fucking game, they have to have this ceremony where they arrive and you're trying to talk to people and get fucking cherries off them or whatever, and it's just no, the game has to you know, Jeff from fucking Monster Island has arrived. Well, thanks Jeff, thanks for fucking ruining this on me.
Yeah, what a dumb... Come on, Monster Island, be more original. What is everyone's island's name? What's the name of your
island?
I
don't know if I want to say it out loud. No, because I didn't want to
Spicy Island!
No, really.
They have to have your code to flood you. They either have to be your friend or have your code. You can say the name of your island. You can't look up an island by name.
Okay, Bamboo House is the name of my island.
Oh, it's not No Scope. Goku 420.
Okay. To be fair, Mel, it was originally supposed to be Bamboo House of Dolls, which is the name of a bar in a fucking favorite book series of mine, but there's only so many characters allowed. So Goku Plays It All Day 420 No Scope was
from
not
the Sandman Slim books, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my island's name, I picked a weird E, C, and O with weird accents over it just because. Also, I think it might make them say the letters a little differently. Mm-hmm. But my island's name is Delco. And what did the character say? I met a character on the island. I was like, why don't you come to my island? They were like, oh my god, I can't believe it. I'm going to have a zip code in Delco. was like, yes, I love this game.
There's a lot of fun to be had in unconventional ways.
What freaks me out when sometimes they say the words and you understand it, like, and you can tell it's just the word distorted a little bit by like, and I'm just like, ugh. Am I starting to understand what they're saying, or have I been playing this game too long?
It's just a few stray vowels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I said already in the chat, like, I named my island Inish Vega, just because Inish, island in Irish, and there's a guy called Carlos Vega who sang a song called The Island that I liked, from just, like, fucking amazing era of, like, rich white dad jazz from the 80s. Dave Grusin is one of the lead
rich
players.
Rich white dad jazz.
I'm not kidding.
He's right.
It's golf jazz, all right?
Yes, like,
it's,
yes.
It's so well played, though. Like, Dave Grusin and Lee Ritner are the two guys that I think of when I think of this stuff. And you can watch videos of them playing in, like, studio sessions online and from the time. And what I love about it is none of them look cool. Like, they look like a fucking a parents group. Like, they're all, like, killer musicians. And I don't know what it is. Like, there's a song called Early AM Attitude that I would recommend checking out, because it is pure middle class satisfaction in music, but really well done. And it's good music to work to. If you're trying to write something or do something like that, I would recommend checking out some of those videos. But exceptional musical talent as well. And on top of that, it's the people who, when they're playing live, they look like they're having fun, and that's an important thing for me. I hate, like, stone faced like, people who play complicated music. Just like, I always enjoy watching people play complicated music when they look like they're having a good time.
They should be.
Speaking of complicated music in that game, is God a dog and is he a musician in
that's
this series?
Sort of KK. So he'll turn up eventually. He's called.
You gotta have a bar or something for KK to show up.
Yeah, he just showed up in a dream for me.
Well, like, that's in the beginning. Okay.
He's kind of like the guy in the wheelchair in Oz, in that regard. But
so he is God. Okay, gotcha.
No, it's right. Just like KK is. I think he's KK Slider is what he's called in.
No, yeah, that's his name.
He's called Toto KK in the Japanese version. That's what I would have originally known him as. And he. When you have a bar, like in the old games, it used to be he'd play in the coffee shop in the basement of the library. But okay. I think separate bars now. He turns up every Saturday night, I believe, to play in your town. And when he plays, you get a new song to play on your radio or something. Cause
he's already got a heavy metal one. I've noticed that. I've walked in and it's like, yeah, KK Slider heavy metal is on. I'm like, whoa, okay.
I love the radio, man. I love coming into my house and just the weirdest shit will be playing on the radio. One time I walked in and it was just like, we're playing spooky haunted house music. It was just like, I was like, what the? I'm like, I felt like something bad was about to happen in my little Animal Crossing house, which I knew couldn't happen, but the music was like, it's spooky time. And I'm like, it's me and my koi fish and my succulents and my ant farm I got from a balloon.
My succulents.
Yeah.
I fucking hate the word succulent.
Yeah, me too.
But that's what they are. It's if you fish a old can out of the river, you think of a DIY. I love it.
The beads in there, but yeah, no. The person, the girl I was talking about in work, she fucking loves succulent plants in real life.
Oh no, and, Jesus!
She would make it her business to come over to my desk and go, "Hey, John, I got a new succulent for my desk." How about you fuck off?
You should have went right up to her and said, "Yeah, well, that makes me moist." That's kind of like, so many people have a problem. So many people have a problem with that word.
Moist, I've heard women don't like the word moist. I think it's because it reminds them of their dank, mildewy vaginas.
Reminds them of their stank.
I don't have
cage.
That much trouble. I think cockpit's a worse word than moist. That's just a pit I don't want to deal with, man.
I mean,
no.
They're both such valid points. I don't know. I love words that make people feel uncomfortable because there is no word out there that makes me feel like there's no like word that invokes the shiver. You know what I mean? Someone can describe a moment using words that'll make me do that, but I don't have like the buzzword that just gets me.
Yeah.
And moist is like the big. I know so many people.
Yep.
That can't take it, and I'm like, what the who said what to you as a child?
Yeah,
that made
I don't
you hate that word.
It's
like,
gotta
when
be
I hear
how.
The word moist, genuinely, the second word I hear is cake.
Yeah,
like that's it. I'm like going, oh, cake sound.
Or a, or a description of a muffin. Like in all honesty, it's like, and granted, like in any relationship, I'd be the dude. So it's not like.
What? Sorry.
I was saying. That in any relationship, I would be the dude.
Okay.
So it's not like I would be I don't say moist as a, like, a bed word. So they definitely would not
the
be saying
fuck
it
are
to
you
me. I'm saying there's no sexual affiliation to the word moist for me.
Right.
And
right,
I'm so fucked and so having a hard time talking, okay?
Matt's saying is that once or twice in his life, he's rolled over to his lover and said, is your craw moist?
See, that's the point I'm trying to make. I've never done that. So the idea that it could be a word that sends shivers down people's spine is like, why?
You stand up, right, in front of the woman. Just take your dick out and go, I'm going to wait for this to work up some condensation in your crotch, and then I'll be straight in.
Fucking children.
Okay.
That's us.
There it is. Literally just stand there with arms out like, go ahead, take a look. It's all you need, baby.
You just stand up and go, just drink this in, alright? I'll be back in 5 minutes, I'm assuming. And then you just throw a towel at her and go, put that underneath you.
I thought you were going to say, I'll be back in 5 minutes, and then you don't leave. You just don't make eye contact and you don't talk.
Holy fuck.
Holy shit. Oh. Lord. So Animal Crossing is fun, guys.
It's and
great.
Not moist.
It looks so good. It just
not
looks
moist
great.
At all.
It's all about vibing, baby. It's just a game about vibes.
The thing I
hope all your islands are surrounded by big blue water.
Oh yeah, good. It's very pretty.
But I it's the thing. I'm like, I don't really get how kids would enjoy this. You know,
I only like it because it has quests. I like it because it's like. Do this and get the thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. I know what I have, like, some guidance. I know what to do. That's what I need. Thank you.
I honestly think its prime demographic were for tween girls, not children, to be honest with you. I think back in the day, that's what they were trying to, advertise it towards. Be like, listen, it's a video game, but you can't die and there's no stakes. It's a game about weed pulling and selling crap that you make at the county fair.
Designing your house.
Yeah, like it's
every child dreams of.
I mean,
well, it's great for us millennials who don't own houses. Now we can do whatever we want.
You can do what you want. Maybe that's why it does play with you guys. I mean, to be real.
Oh, that's absolutely why we in our 30s are fucking digging this game. But
like I'm on an island I'll never go to. It's beautiful. I almost have every kind of fruit tree. I'm just missing one.
It's a piece of land that I own, and it has what I want.
I mean,
able
to pay off this debt to this guy
Yeah, your interest-free debt, like that, to which there is no time limit or minimum payment. Yeah.
I'm very close to paying off. I have my house. I'm like $20,000 away now. I'll probably get that tonight and pay off the rest of my house. God, and then it'll upgrade me to another one, I'm sure.
Yep. You'll start in your $198,000 bell debt.
Sounds great.
To get an inch of space on every wall. Like, do these houses eventually have different, like, rooms in them?
Yeah, so, they do.
Okay, because so, like, so far, it's been a tent, a tiny house, and a slightly bigger tiny house for a fuck ton of money. So it's like, huh, okay.
That's usually how it starts, I mean.
Yeah, but that tiny little space has my succulents and my...
moist!
And my wash tub,
my moist,
I mean.
Succulents!
And my ant farm that
okay,
a
I take
present
it back,
someone
Mel.
Launched on a
Hang
balloon.
On. Hang on, I take it back, Mel. Congratulations, you found the combination of words that gave
Did
me
Did I do
chill.
It?
Oh what? My god.
Winner,
my
winner,
voice.
Chicken
oh,
dinner.
Oh, another question for everybody, because I know it's always random. What color was your cot when you got it, when you got your house?
Black.
Did you, like,
it's,
is everybody's
like
a camo
soul.
Pattern?
Yeah, mine's black and gray camo.
Yeah, so it's mine. I was wondering if everybody's was that color.
But you know what's really cool? I went fishing that same day, and I got a fucking racing car bed from a fish.
Nice.
What?
I pulled a race car bed out of the fucking river when I was fishing.
Damn.
And whenever I lie down in the bed, it hawks. It's the greatest fucking
thing. Oh, man, I hate you. I need that. I love how many dumb little, like I said, I got an ant farm from a balloon. I have a gas station pump I got from a balloon that sits outside my house. Like,
so tween girls and you three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Oh my god.
Well, I fucking turned into a teen girl after a day or two. Like, I started wearing that dress. And because I was like,
and then
oh,
taking screenshots and sharing them in our group chat.
Oh yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna fucking make my little guy look like me. So I gave him the closest hair that like is in the game to me. And then I was like, in a couple of days I'll get glasses, and you know I'll never have a beard on it because it's a kid, but whatever. And then like I met a ghost and it gave me a dress.
A ghost?
If you don't met the ghost.
No.
I didn't know there's a ghost. This is only my second day in game, John. You're
yeah,
ahead.
You don't really see
ghost.
Yeah, it's like once you get to a certain day is when you start really seeing shit.
There's a ghost in there, and
there's a ghost in there, guys. I've seen it.
But it gave me.
I don't
dress.
Usually believe in ghosts, but in Animal Crossing, this ghost definitely talked to
me. Wait! Is it a T-Rex ghost? Because in this game, it can be.
No,
and that would be really fun. Aww.
But it gave me a dress, and I put it on, and I was there going, you know what? Looks pretty good. So I just wore the dress room for a while.
I'll wear what I want to.
So I made a little guy and tried to dress him the best as I could to make him look like me. So the closest to a haircut that I have, the dopey, like, sleepy eyes, and, you know, black T-shirt and just, you know, fucking cut-off jean shorts and boots. And then I was the best shit is found fishing, dude. Or those presents
Clearly.
That are floating on balloons.
Yeah.
So I'm playing yesterday, and all of a sudden, I get this thing that says, Legendary Tunic. I put it on, and it's a red tunic with, like, a sword emblem on it. And then immediately after, pull another thing out of the river, and it's a fucking football helmet. I'm like, well, this is what I'm wearing for the rest of this fucking game. Is I'm
awesome.
Wearing a medieval tunic and a fucking football helmet. And I am 5 years old again, wearing dumb shit in the backyard playing around.
Dude, I'm like, I actually haven't fished any weird stuff beyond getting, like, the tires and the cans and, like, learning new things to make that way. But once again, only on day two. Okay. So I won't start, you know, I've seen presents now, which is great. I've been going to random islands, though. Every time I go to a random island, I've done it 3 times. It's the same fucking island.
Really?
Like, it's literally the same shape with the villager on it, which is great. But then, so the first one was, like, a kangaroo, same setup, like a normal cute setup with tulips, and I was like, cool. Then I did it again. It was the same setup, tulips, same bugs, but it was this cute little bear hamster thing, and I think it's a hamster, and I was like, cool, you're coming with me. And then the third one, it was this scary white bird, and I was like, I'm not even talking to you. I was like, you're not moving to my island, dude. You're like one of those, like, predatory, like, giant, like, it was all
you
white
racist.
With red around its eyes.
You racist!
I don't like white birds, I'm sorry.
God. Oh my god, you can't say that on the show, Keith!
When I got to that random person on Reddit's island, people kept on, like, bombarding the island. They kept on arriving and ruining the game. And I literally had the thought, I was like, oh man, they need to close the borders. And then I went, oh god, I'm right wing in this game.
I mean, it is a Japanese game.
But, I just wish there was a way you could, like, place stuff, like, be like, oh, you're my friend, you can place stuff on my island. Like, I wish there was a way you could say that, because, like, my buddy, I went to my buddy's island, and he starts playing his little ocarina, and I didn't build one yet, and I was like, no, I can't jam with you. I was like, wait, I built this other thing out of a can that's, like, one of those little finger drums, like, doop, 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 doop. I built one of those, but you can't hold it. You have to put it down to play it. So I was like, this is something I just have to leave on my island out in the open so people can go up and, like, mess with it and play it.
What I wish was, because the game makes a distinction between friend and best friends, I wish, maybe they'll do it later, give me an option to say best friends can just come on my island until I say otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they can come over whenever. I don't need to open the gate to let
them come
over.
To be playing to let them on my island. It's totally fucking fine. But I think this game's data is saved locally, not on a giant server, because Nintendo has no money for that infrastructure, which is, like John was saying, the long fucking cinematic when they load in. It's like, yeah, because there's no server doing anything on this. Like, don't break your Switches, boys, because if you do, all that work's going to go away. Like, nothing is being saved other than on your hard drive. So it's, But, you know, that's the only real thing I can find to nitpick about it, is I wish that the social aspect was a little easier. Yeah. But,
I mean, you can use, if you have the Switch Online, or the Nintendo Switch Online app, if everybody's on the same island, it'll tell you if someone starts a chat room on the app, and then you can all join the chat room on your phone, and that way you can all talk. But you just have to do it through the phone.
We all have Discord, and if I'm going to have my phone, we're talking on Discord anyway.
There's that, yeah, because everybody's doing that. I think the only other neat thing is with the Switch Online app is you can use the keyboard on your phone as your keyboard in the game if you want.
That's so
you can be like, blah, 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 and just type on your phone and have it pop up as what your guy says on the screen.
That's useful. An actual chat room, not so much, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so
the only thing, and this is the shit I've heard from everybody that is slightly disappointed, it is time-gated content. Like, the first day you play it, and, like, the whole big thing about this is like, hey, guess what? It's social now. Invite your friends and blah, blah, blah. And it's real hard to talk somebody into getting the game. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you gotta wait 12 hours. Like, just wait 12 hours before you can talk to another player. And it's like, I get why when you're playing that game, but, like, if the selling point is, this one is now play with friends, guys, it's like, dude, after the tutorial, even if you can't, you just make the character not be able to do anything, but let them go and see what their friends have made so that they can feel inspired to go back and do it. That's the one real beef I have, is, like, it's hard to recommend this game to anyone because it's like, hey, guess what? That first day, you're going to run out of shit to do in 5 hours, and it's the kind of game that you want to play all day.
And, I mean, unless you just want to be like, I'm like, the thing is, in the first day, mm-hmm. I got my house, I got Nook Plus Miles activated, like,
yes,
there's a lot you can do in that first day. Like, I had Blathers was there day two, I got him on the island right away, so, like, there is a lot you can do day one if you just want to go fishing and stuff on your island and not go outside that initial area, because you can't even you don't have the vaulting pole, so you can't even go to the other areas of your island. The thing is, it's so chill. I spent like 5-6 hours playing it last night, and like, it's so chill and so good.
It was fine for me, but there got to points to be was like, well, the only thing left to do is fish and shake trees, so clearly the game wants me to stop for the day. And but after day three, there's so many different side missions where it's like, yeah, reasonably, unless you're stuck for 9 hours on a bus, there's more things to do than hours in the day you'll be playing, so you never run out. But those first 3 days, it's like, maybe you should have gated this shit so much. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing in the game's overwhelming. Like, by
that's
the time,
kind of the point of the game. It's like a commuter game. Like, this was made for, like, a Japanese train commuter to play on the way to work, on lunch, and on the way home.
Yeah.
It's what it was made for, but that's why I always said I'm a Stardew Valley guy. I can go to sleep, advance to the next day.
Yeah.
You know, Animal Crossing, it's like, go to bed in real life and we'll see you then.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was in 2001 when it was first created. And I think
what
it is.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah, and what it is now, I think, has taken on, like I said, it would not have hurt for them to have adapted a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to bring up the game earlier because there are people who are time travelers, they call them, who are people who set their clocks like a day ahead. And I say, you're beating the system, man. You can't time travel like that in Animal Crossing. It's not cool.
Yeah, Nook yells at you if you do it, too.
Really? But it's like you can't do anything. It's just like, don't do that.
It's like, welcome to the future. You get nothing.
It's probably not Nook. It's probably Mr. Rossetti. I don't know if you've run into him yet.
I've heard the name.
I think he's the helicopter guy, I think, in this one. Because the helicopter has his hat on.
Mr. Rossetti will chew the fuck out of you if you do something wrong. Like, he goes on...
He's the guy who can turn off the game while you're saving the old one stuff.
He'd pop up, he was a mole, and he'd pop up out of the ground and give out to you for 5 minutes.
Listen, you little shit.
I bought, I remember I was talking to my friend in work about the thing where I said, like, I remember years ago as a gift buying a KK doll, like that, you used to be able to buy plushies of the characters on eBay.
And I'm sure you can again now.
So, but I went and saw the one that I specifically bought, and it's worth a lot of money now, and I wish I didn't give it away as a gift. It's worth like next to 500 quid at the moment, and keep your stuff in plastic.
Plastic tubs.
I have hurt myself a few times by looking up what shit I used to own is actually worth now, and did I ever tell you the kicker about
only look up the shit you actually have?
Nah, because I don't have anything left. Like, that's the problem. It's, Did I ever tell you guys the story about the two comic books I bought when I was 11?
No, go on.
Okay,
go for it. Make us sad.
Yep. I bought two comics. Make us sad.
You bought into a capitalist system.
Well, no. I was 11, and my dad got back into Justice League for whatever reason. Somebody was doing a run. I get my nerdiness from my father, and there was a comic book store not three blocks from my house that me and him used to walk up to on Saturday. And he'd give me, like, $10, which would be enough to buy two fucking comics back in the mid-90s. And I didn't know the worth of anything. I had always heard that, like, issue number ones are worth thousands of fucking dollars.
Yeah, and that was always the thing. If it had a one on it, it'd be like, is this worth something? When you were a kid, like, every
Well, that's
time.
Why there was a comics book crash in the 90s, because they released a million number ones.
Yes, they did. Well, I see for 99 cents a book called The Untold Tales of Spider-Man. Never read it, because it bored the fuck out of me. But I bought it, because I thought it'd be worth something, and I put that cardboard and plastic that fucker, and into my long box it went. And then I also bought the cover of something that struck me, and it was right off the cusp of the Marvel versus DC comics, and they were starting to do the crossovers, not the combinations, but the crossovers. Okay. And it was a Spider-Man-Batman crossover. And it was both of them perched on gargoyles. Like, you're on the ground looking up, and you see Spider-Man and Batman perched on gargoyles. And I'm like, these are the two greatest characters that a child knows. Of course I'm buying this. And it was a great fucking one-shot in this twisted universe where the Joker shot Uncle Ben as a fucking street thug, and Carnage, before he was Carnage, was the killer for the Waynes. And in this world, like, the two of them, like, gear up to take the other asshole's guy down. Yeah. And that's all I can remember. I was 11. I don't remember. I just remember that the art was awesome and blah, blah, blah. My dog destroyed it 2 weeks later. It was a fucking great book, though. So fast forward to 2006 or 7, I'm deep into comics again. Marvel just started making movies. We're getting into comics like crazy. I have four gigantic long boxes already filled. And I'm at my local...
This is when comics got good again, was around.
Was right before... Comics were great.
right before Iron Man 1 came out, mm-hmm. the 4 years previous comics were so on fire.
There is all comics pull from nowadays.
Yes! Look.
Well, that was like Civil War and...
Right before Civil War.
Or right after, maybe a little after, if not before.
To me, it was, if we're going to get into it, to me, it was the minute the new Avengers started. Like, so Avengers Disassembled happened, and it was good. But right, like, 3 months later, as new Avengers started, I'm like, this is awesome. I'm going to read Avengers comics. This shit's awesome.
You know what was good as well, though? I'm like, I'm not sure how people respect. I really enjoyed the Ultimates, you know, like the kind of art.
Ultimate Spider-Man was great.
Like, the Ultimates, the Avengers one, where it's just like, it's Mark Miller writing the Avengers.
Does this A stand for France, John?
a lot of Ultimate stuff is what influenced the Marvel Universe, too, for sure.
Oh, the cinematic universe is the Ultimates, 100%.
Pretty much.
Mark Miller is one of my favorite comic writers. I can't remember specifically why he said to me, but I remember the first time I met him, I said something to him, and I said, yeah, I really enjoy your books. And he said something really awkward back to me, and I can't remember the context of it, and I don't want to bury him by bringing up one of the elements of the thing he said, just because it would come across really badly. But I just never forget the moment going, wow, he's more awkward than I am. And, fucking signed my copy of Superman Red Son, though. And I think my copy of The Ultimates as well, actually.
That's probably worth something, man, both of those at this point. So anyway, I'm knee-deep into the early aughts into the comics. And this is back before this shit was even online. Like, online shit is just starting to resemble what we know it today. And so books were still a thing, and this guy's got the fucking, 2005 Almanac. And I'm like, all right, dude, just out of curiosity, Untold Tale of Spider-Man issue 1. What's a mint version in fucking plastic worth these days? So he looks it up, and it's like, it's actually 97 cents. It's depreciated 2 cents since I fucking bought it. And I'm like, I was a kid. And then it struck me, oh, that other book. That's not what happened. I didn't see that book. 3 years later, I go to the same fucking comic book shop, and there's a book. Now, granted, the book is autographed and sealed and on a plaque, but this book is $850 fucking dollars. Turns out that fucking Batman Spider-Man book was big, but I bought one of 500 covered variants and didn't even fucking know it. Because that awesome picture where you're looking up in the alleyway of them on the gargoyles was the limited fucking run, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you're probably looking at 500 for that.
Yeah, like, obviously it being autographed, plaqued, gave a lot of value to it, but I'm like,
but if yours is bagged and boarded and in good nick, from you could easily 450 to 500.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh no. But yeah, so that was my, yeah, you never know what's going to be worth value, kids. So go ahead, like John said, put everything in plastic. You'll never know what these freaks will buy in about 50 years from now.
One of the things that I'm looking to do soon is, I don't like, I like collecting things, and I like collecting things around things I enjoy. And I was like, I think I'd like to get into collecting signed wrestling trading cards.
Oh, that's
interesting.
Yeah.
Because I can just put them in a book and they're not going to take up space, Because I saw, I follow Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins' mm-hmm. YouTube channel, and they were in this place, and the guy had signed Harley Race, trading cards for, $30. And I was like, I'd buy that. Wow. Like, Harley's dead. Obviously, he's not going to be signing any more cards. I'm a big fucking fan of Harley's. So, yeah, that sounds great, Then I started looking into it. I started going, if I was to do that, there's definitely something else I'd like to do. I was like, I'd like to have a shelf somewhere that's just full of weird memorabilia around wrestling promoters. Yeah. And I was like, what's the weirdest Vince McMahon item I can find? What's the weirdest...
Antonio Inoki.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's no shortage of Inoki. Bollocks. All right, just that action figure from where he's homeless. Because that's him. Yeah, like, he released an action figure of himself as a homeless person to highlight the problems of homelessness in Japan.
Oh, my God. I thought it was an angle or something.
That's... No. It's
no,
just...
God. Inoki is... Wow.
You could, like, here's the thing. If you were to make, you couldn't make a movie about Inoki. You'd have to make several.
Oh, you just reminded me, John,
you'd
how the
next
Yakuza...
You'd have to write volumes of books.
Let's talk about homeless. I can't wait for the next Yakuza where you get to have a homeless guy on your squad.
About time.
And he has moves like resting on his cardboard to help heal in fights. Oh, I can't wait. It looks
well, technically,
like,
Akiyama was homeless, so he
would. Well, yeah. Totally.
But, like, I was looking into it. I was like, different promoters I'd like to get. Like, Giant Baba, I saw something on eBay and earlier bought, there was like a pencil eraser of him. And then I was like, all right, what Vern Gagne stuff can I get? What, like. You know, and unfortunately, there's not, like, Otto Vance, there doesn't seem to be anything of him out there. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to, I think there's a lot of fun in tracking this stuff down at a budget. Like, just to be like, I'm not going to spend, like, X amount, I'm not going to spend over it.
The cheaper things are going to be the weirder things anyway.
Yeah, like, I saw, like, there's this, like, Pepsi bottle that has Fritz von Erich on it from Japan.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome. I like that.
John, like, if you come visit us, there's a giant hobby shop up around the corner. It's like walking distance from my house. They have all kinds of stuff that you would probably recognize better than me.
Well, like there's a company called Sofubi, and they release these really kind of cute wrestling action figures in Japan. They're like wrestling dolls back in the day, but they've done ones recently where they've like re-released them, but they've put like Sting and stuff in the mix. But there's this like really cute Genichiro Tenryu that I really want, just because he was the promoter of SWS and more back in the day. But it's fucking so fucking expensive. Yeah. But it's undisputably him when you look at it. You're like, oh, look, it's him, but it's a childish doll of him. But I would love to have like just a shelf full of odd promoter items, like Sam, like a signed photo of Sam Mushnick. I'd fucking love that. I don't even know if it exists, you know. The big one that I want to get. I want to get a piece of Ted Turner memorabilia, and I don't know.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty sweet.
Just go to the old fucking Turner Broadcasting building, like, rip off a hunk of wood. Like, come on, that can't be that hard to do.
Down in Atlanta?
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of want a picture of him, like, a drawn picture of him with Captain Planet.
What?
Or just, like, a picture of him, just, like, a photo I've seen of him, like, a publicity photo where he's standing next to a guy in a Captain Planet costume. And I was like, if I could get a signed version of that, I would buy it. No, dude, because that's like three things in one. You know? But definitely Ted Turner is high on the list. But like Baba, Inoki, McMahon, Turner, those are the top four, obviously. But I'm never going to get a Max Crabtree thing. And I realize these names mean nothing to you. But like they're...
A few of them I know.
Yeah, but like Max Crabtree.
Because of you.
Oh, you probably do know who Max Crabtree is because you've read the wrestling. The British wrestling. But
the wrestling.
I'd love like a Don Owen fucking action figure or something. I don't know. The only problem is with Vince, when you go look for Vince stuff, there's too much of it and it's all just like Funko Pops or like action figures of him. I'm just like, there's got to be something. I want like a Vince McMahon like cup holder or something.
And koozie.
Vince McMahon koozie. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, a couple. Yeah, that would be great.
Or like a napkin with his face on it or something.
here's the bitch of it. Before the shutdown, I knew guys that could fucking do that. Like, make it. If you weren't down for, like, bat, like, you know, if it had to be official, you're out of luck. But, like, if you wanted knockoff shit, like, I knew dudes who could do that.
See, I'm not sure if I want knockoff stuff. I'd love to, like, if someone
he
said...
He wants stuff that he discovers in the...
Yeah, like, if someone said, here...
Like an archaeologist.
Here's, like,
culture archaeologist.
a Mexican beer bottle that they just used a picture of Vince on. Like, that's kind of what I'd love. And,
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, that's my long-term life project now. I'm not saying I want to do this in the next 2 or 3 years. I'm just like, on my travels, that's a new thing. I'm like, can I get, like, a can of Mellow Yellow with Dusty Rhodes on?
If I were to start collecting anything now, here's something I would actually like to do. I mean, this is going to sound so fucking hipster and so fucking cliche, but it's something I've always wanted to do, and now it's easier than ever to do it. The albums that I love, like the albums that I either grew up with or just that are constantly in rotation, I would like to go and find original pressed, like, vinyls of them. You know what I mean? Like get them in their original form. You know what I mean? That would be cool, because it's like, I don't want a collection on vinyl to listen to because, ooh, vinyl, ooh. And like, and it's like the idea of having something in its original state to hear it as it first hit the world. You know what I mean? I think that would be really fucking cool. And if I were going to get into any collecting thing, I think that might be it.
I have a small, I don't have a big vinyl collection, but I have some vinyls. I literally ordered an MF Doom. I ordered MF Doom's Food on record because I was just like, I want to have a vinyl of MF Doom. I don't have an MF Doom vinyl. I want to have one. And it sounds great when you play it on vinyl. Like, it gives it a different tone. It's pretty awesome.
My buddy
in Seattle, who used to buy vinyls all the time, just like at different shops, he'd find stuff everywhere. It's a little thing for him.
Yeah, if there's a box of vinyl in some, like, thrift shop or something, I will definitely just take a look, because you never know.
Johnny met my buddy Mike, but did you two meet Mike Hoare when you were down here? Okay, he's a musician. He's also a machinist by trade now. He was my lackey till we both got laid off. He bought me, like, my first vinyl album, and I'm like, and, you know, we listened to it, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know what? I get the appeal. There's a lot of hipster shit I don't like, but as far as just having a cool piece of art to collect and to play at the same time, like, this one I get. And
that's the first music
I listen to, for
you're
real.
You're not being contrarian or obscure, but just wanting to pick a record up. Like, it's, you know, you'd be, like, vinyl is a really good format. It's not like going, oh, you know what? I really want to collect all my favorite albums, but I want someone to make a fucking second-gen cassette copy from the radio for me, because that's being obscure. If you're just buying a nice version of it, then, you know. It's like, I mean, I'll say this, like, there's certain films I'd love to own the VHS box of, just because of what it means to me.
Exactly.
If I was to see the big box version of the Ninja Turtles film, you know, with the black thing.
Yes!
I'd buy that in a heartbeat, you know?
I know exactly.
They used to be so giant.
And the little turtles were about this big on the box because the title was so fucking big. Dude, I'm like, you said that and I am down into my little movie library as a kid again. I'm like, fuck, that was a sick box. Like,
that was.
It was so minuscule and bullshit, but man, I fucking loved that box.
It was, like, there's a lot, like, the RoboCop VHS with him with the red light. It looks great.
His eye thing,
Yep. The clamshell Disney movies, I know those still go for a lot.
They're very distinct.
Yes, yeah, they were very big, so because I guess kids couldn't handle just movie sleeves, so they were just those giant, big.
Well, that's the thing. We never had those cardboard sleeves.
We have got to have, not here, but I think my sister's got to have a bunch of those left.
Yeah.
So I remember the only American VHS tape I've ever owned was SummerSlam 88, because Ken sent it to me. And
came in one of those.
I was like, going, oh, look at this. It's in a paper sleeve. And then I remember watching, what's his name? The Angry Video Game Nerd, his YouTube channel. He has like a video shop in his basement. And they're all cardboard sleeves. It's like, oh yeah, we didn't have that. We all every tape had a hard plastic cover here.
Yeah, that was so special here. Like that, yeah, Disney did that, ones. And they're the only
Disney
ones.
Ones. Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
Like Warner Brothers films used to come in those big clamshells all the time, and yeah, no, I don't think I've ever seen a plastic or a paper sleeve on a video unless it was like a promotional. Like I have a Donkey Kong VHS tape, and a Donkey Kong Country VHS tape.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I have that. That's at my mom's somewhere. Actually, it could be in the box right over there on my VHS. I'm not sure.
It's completely...
Are you talking about mainframes, animations, Donkey Kong?
No, he's talking about the promo video Nintendo Power sent out to promote Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay. That's a lot better.
Yes.
Sorry.
It was great. It blew our minds. And then we learned 15 years later... They lied to us. They were like, these are 3D graphics. And it was like...
They were.
Those are pictures you animated. They were. They were pictures of 3D graphics that they animated.
They were 3D renderings that they animated. Yes.
They were pictures of 3D renders.
Yes.
They were not 3D renders in the slightest. They were pictures of 3D renders.
Who cares? It got you where you needed to go.
I know. It looked great. It looked great. It looked great. It looked awesome.
For its time, who didn't get their hands on that game and go, am I looking at?
No, speaking on the paper boxes, this is where, you know, in the end, Sega got it right. They put their games in plastic cases, so you would never throw them out. All my Super Nintendo games, they're just like stacked. There's no paper box. All those boxes are gone.
I have one Super Nintendo game.
I have Mario Paint in box. That's the only one I have.
All Japan Pro Wrestling for Super Nintendo. for the Famicom, it's Zenihon Pro Wrestling for the Super Famicom. Complete inbox with the fucking manual and everything. I bought it for €5 a couple of years ago because it was in a game shop in Dublin and they were like, what is this? I'm like, that is Misawa, you fucking Philistine. I was like, give me this. I'm like, get out of here. But, yeah, no, it's owning games like in the original format or whatever. Like, it's not really as important to me as it used to be. I'm just as happy playing Pilot Wings on my Switch through that app as I am if I was to have a physical version. I need to buy some of those wireless controllers though, just because that is a big part of it, is playing with the original controller. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd be happy enough with just the Super Nintendo one, though. Like, I play the NES games on the Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo is probably my favorite video game system ever, just because...
Many good titles. Many good titles.
And a lot of trash, but a lot of good stuff.
The thing about Nintendo is, like, they are such a great video game studio themselves that, like... You know, they've survived releasing powered down hardware for years because they're going, you're not going to be able to get Zelda on anything else.
Yep.
So, fucking deal with that one. Also,
Mario still sells every time. Like,
yeah, because they're fucking amazing.
I'm still a sucker
games.
For Mario in the end.
Who is it? That Mario Maker game is the greatest game ever. Like, I fucking
heard
love
that,
it.
Yeah.
It's real. Listen, there are about 13 really good reasons to go buy a Switch. I'll say that. Like, 13
more than that,
really good
13 good reasons, and then like another 15 like pretty good reasons.
Yeah, okay, ideas. Yeah,
there's so many great games on that thing.
Well, have you guys played 1980X?
No,
it's a very mopey game. All right.
Okay.
But I think it might be something that you might enjoy if you're looking for like. It's about this kid playing video games and how it relates to like their life growing up in the suburbs of some nameless city.
Yeah, I think I've seen it. I think it's on PS4.
Yeah, it's look. I'm not gonna say that you're gonna. I can see people disliking it, but the texture of it really got to me when I played it. It's only an hour. Like you would beat it in an hour. Be prepared for that. Like, but it's kind of a like Yuzo Koshiro did some of the music for it, and that was kind of what sold me. I was like, I haven't heard anything new by him in a long time that wasn't like fucking Monkey Ball or whatever. And Yeah, it's okay. If it's ever on sale on the Switch for, 90% off, and you can get it for, one or two quid, jump on it. But it's so, the narrator is quite whiny. That's the only problem. And they have this kind of, hey, man, if you're not a nerd, you're a fucking loser kind of attitude.
Jesus.
That kind of, I don't know how to put it.
Elitist nerd, yes.
Yes, yeah.
You had it right.
And I don't know. But I'd recommend playing it just as a textural thing, where you're there's lots of movies and books and stuff and TV shows that have tried to capture that 80s thing. But what works about this is that you're playing it. You're in there pushing the pixels around.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. There was, what else was there? It's if you've never seen the High Score Girl, that's kind of similar in its own way. And High Score Girl is a lot of fun because it's about kids growing up and video games growing up around them.
Mm-hmm. I tried, couldn't get into it. Sorry.
It's anime in general. I get it when people don't like it. Anime is a take it or leave it type of thing.
Oh, for sure.
It's I've left a lot of it more than anything. I remember someone explaining, what was that one? The one with the giants in it.
Shadow of the Colossus.
No, the fucking the anime.
Oh, an anime. Sorry, I was thinking video games. Attack on Titan.
Yeah, I remember.
Turns out it's Man the Show. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, yeah. Which I gathered. I gathered that pretty quickly when they were killing these things by hacking at their necks, and uh-huh. then that kid came out with the back of that thing's neck, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess it's man. that is weak sauce fucking Nausicaa. When you watch Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, they kind of do that, evil titan thing a lot better. Mm-hmm. That fucked up body horror melting giant at the end of the film. But, I remember people talking Attack on Titan up to me. And mainly because we're like, oh, you should check it out because there's a weird kind of, meditation almost on medieval Germanic architecture. I was like, oh, that sounds like it's right up my alley. And I just remember watching it going, I fucking hate everybody. I was going to say, I was listening to Goosebumps again.
Nice, yeah, the best show.
And there was a bit where Dom and Paul were going, hey, when they were insulting somebody, they'd come up with something that they could do that wouldn't necessarily benefit them. They're like, hey, she can comb my pubes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. hey, how about you clean my ear, okay? Just go ahead and clean my ear.
I just love that, where it's just I don't necessarily want to enjoy this or have it be a service. But I really enjoyed
You can just go right ahead and poke my ankles, okay?
But I enjoyed the adventure episodes where they, the choose your own adventure ones. Those are
They did a good one this week too with the vampire. There's a new one about becoming vampires. It was ridiculous. It was really good.
Space man,
so much time.
So Keith just sent us a picture of his Islander character.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, Keith, this is one of the... You have a face on your character I'm going to put my dick in this carp. It is creepy.
It's a cool way, by the way, but yes.
Whatever.
I still forget the red tulip in my hair, because I picked a red tulip, and I was like, what do you do with this? And I used it, and I put it in my hair, and I went, I look pretty good.
Forget your tulip. Your rapist stare into the camera is creeping the living hell out of me.
I'm looking at the camera, and I'm like, I'm a fuck this fish.
I'm a fuck this fish.
Fuck this fish.
Just like the Gwar song.
Oh, this is a Gwar song about fucking fish?
There is a Gwar song called Fish Fuck, and
If Mel wants to be a pro, I suggest we use that as our outro.
Okay, well, there you go.
I mean, we'll see, but, like, it's a good song.
And now Mel will listen and go, oh, right, I gotta get that fish bumper song.
Oh, man. I gotta get that fucking fish song.
I mean, they're all dead. It's not like anyone's gonna be upset if we use this.
Jesus
song.
Christ, damn. On that lovely note.
Nice. I know. We're running up against the wall. Anyone else have anything else we want to talk about before we end it for the night? I know, it's not like any of us got a chance to do anything in the last 7 years.
Oh, that was the other fun part of Animal Crossing. I went and we were all visiting my friend Kelly's island, and we went in her house, and she had a sink right inside her door. I just, like, typed in the chat, wash your hands! And everybody started going to the sink and pretending
that's
to wash
so
their
cute.
Hands.
I immediately bought a medical mask and wore that until I found
my buddy has a medical mask. Yeah, he has one, too. He's running around with.
I think this crisis is going to teach us one thing. We don't need more new porn. Alright? Like, porn is going to shut down. The production of porn is done now, alright? That's the, unless it's, like, the... what's the bukkake? They can do that, all right.
What a relief!
We always need more than that.
The nation of Japan are just like, well, I thought we were all gonna lose it here. I have to imagine like there's porn performers going, I guess this is just the same shit that's been, you've just been recycling the same content for the last 70 years. So, I think that's we need to put those perspectives in there.
However, if you're a cam girl and you're listening, this is your year. Take the industry back, because now who's going to put you up against the corner? Nobody. But just saying, there is always capital ventures to be gained.
Oh, they'll be priming up. I was saying to Bob, there's going to be a lot of cottage industries popping up. They're going to be really, really interesting and gross.
I was going to say bravo, and by bravo, I mean burn in hell, to every advertisement I've heard on the radio using this as a fucking point of advertisement.
Oh, it's already.
It was bad 3 weeks ago.
Matt, we've been through tough times before, Matt. We're going to get through this
Sorry,
together.
Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm far away on my magic island catching fish.
Exactly.
Your corona can't reach me.
Well, look, here's the thing.
I like the Cadillac one was my favorite one, though. I had to sit here in Cadillac. That was like, I'm watching an ad. You guys don't see ads much because you have like completely cut cords, but occasionally I still see them. And it's like, Cadillac, just like always, Cadillac is with you. I'm like, fuck you and your Cadillac.
My fucking favorite one was for a local new and used game store.
Oh, and lovely.
And it was basically like, does Major League Baseball, basketball, and hockey have you fucking down that they've shut down? Well, come down where we have NFL 2K and blah, 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 half price. I'm like, wow. Like, okay.
And you're like, thank God they're an essential service and they're open.
This was, to be fair, this wasn't GameStop. And this was about a month ago.
Yeah, so. GameStop did close. They.
There's other places, like individuals. It's, anyway. Anyway, Animal Crossing is the greatest game ever. It's wonderful.
No, it's the game we need right now.
No, it's the game you need right now. That's good.
Literally. Yeah. It really is.
That's such nice. I'm glad.
They could not have timed this better. Because I bet you that game is fucking just... Fucking Nintendo is sitting back in their chair smoking cigars as the world burns and goes, we did it again, boys. Like, literally.
Kinda. I mean, yeah.
Like, literally.
Pretty much.
We had a game ready to go when people needed wholesome, like a crackhead needs a fix. And God damn it, we got them. We got everything.
A wholesome escape. At that.
Oh, well, I mean, you can call a fix whatever you want, Keith, but it's still
tomato, tomato. Right?
Dude, like I said, any game like where you're just playing and playing and you go, fuck, 2 hours?
Yeah.
That's what I label as heroin. I put a little heroin on it and I go, heroin. Well, it was like four or five.
Try 2 days. Oh my God.
I'm going and all of a sudden it's Wednesday. I'll be there.
I woke up this morning, checked my unemployment, was like, okay, they say I have to call when they're open. That's what the machine said, so I'll wait till 8:30. fishing. Oh, it's 8:30. Good thing I set an alarm. Call. Yeah. Wait on hold. Fishing. Just doing my thing. That's finally get cut off and don't even talk to anybody. And it's like, no one's available because of the high volume of calls. I'm like, I called when you opened. How did everybody else call before me already?
They didn't. They just called you all at the same time. Like,
no, they're only talking to people that it's like queued up at this point with like, well, these people were done. It's fucked up. Yeah. Either way, whatever. I'm going to go to my island and stuff, guys. Well, join totally. Me. Won't you?
Probably. But yeah, unless anyone's got anything else to say, I mean, we'll keep putting them out as long as we can, folks. Week by week.
This one was, let's wait. We got to date stamp these. I want to make sure that we do that during the current ongoing crisis. It's just funny to me because I like to see the kind of funny chronicles. It's the 25th of March, right?
It is the 25th of March. We are ending this at 7:58 p.m. So if shit happens between now and the next time we record and we're still able to record and anyone bitches about it, listen, we can only report on what we've seen as of up until this time.
No. I'm just doing that for posterity. If anyone wants to hold us to dates, they are listening to the wrong show.
Yeah, these are our audio logs. These are our audio logs to be found in the future by whoever's playing
video games. Sidecast Chronicles from the Crisis.
When the aliens try to clone humanity and they're looking for personality vids, here's hoping we're the first they find.
Corona Crisis 2020. Yeah, we labeled it like there'd be another.
Look at these four fucking cunts. Their mother should have just got the abortion. All right.
You ain't lying. I mean, I wouldn't care because I wouldn't even know it happened.
It was never an option for my mom because, you know, it was very...
Every sperm is sacred, John.
It was never an option for my mom because she was raised Catholic. Anyway, let's get to the
fuck out. I bet my mom thought about it.
Oh, yeah. We've had this conversation, right? What's the one question that nobody would ever ask any parent that they loved ever?
Well, look at my mom.
How many times did you think of aborting me?
No, the question nobody ever wants to hear the answer to is, what dream did you kill when you had me? That is a... You want to show bravery? Walk up to any one of your parents that you love, ask that question, and then listen to the answer.
Honestly, I got to cut down the cynical tree here. I think the one thing my mom always wanted to be was a mother. So, she fucking hit the jackpot!
My dad wanted to be a dad. He wanted more kids than this, but my mom did not want to be a mom. And I the proof is in the pudding. How we doing, guys?
Listen.
One is missing and one I don't know the answer to, so. I've adopted John's mom, because she's too awesome. So.
I love both my parents. I have a very good relationship with both of them. But when they start talking about the past, my heart starts to tear in two. And I'm and not that they've ever said it with any inkling about it.
No,
like,
no,
make
I know
me
what
feel
you're
bad.
Saying.
But I'm just like, and you could have had it all, except you got frisky, huh, Pops? You had to rob the cradle. Like,
damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that, and you know what, folks? When things are truly bad and you're feeling terrible, just remember, you probably don't know what your parents sacrificed on the altar of parenthood to have your ass. Good night, everybody.
Maybe if you weren't racist against time travelers, you could fix the past.
Yeah, but like, fucking, Dr. Nope, if you ask me. That's the best I got. Sorry. Goodbye.
There's no going back, Mel!
Good night, bitches.
Doc Brown is the devil.
Great Scott, Matt!
Fall Back to the Future spot to give people a false hope of changing things by going to the past and doing it over again.
I can't know the future. He fucking cheats every time. Every scenario he swears
does
about
he?
The movie. Yes.
How do you know?
Does, but we're going to get into this next time on Sidecast on the Back to the Future special.
I figured.
We already got into this.